You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Arizona Diamondbacks. Hello, everybody. I'm Allison Futter from MLB.com, and I am joined by Steve Gilbert, who covers the Diamondbacks for MLB.com. And Steve, this is officially the week of It's a Small Sample Size. So, of course, everything that we talk about is based on very little that we've seen in the regular season so far, because everything is just getting underway. But just looking at the Diamondbacks and some of the things that you've written, I guess the main issue right now is the starters have to start pitching a little bit deeper into ball games. Would that be the main concern right now?
Yeah, Allison, I think, you know, as we talked throughout the spring, the biggest question mark for the Diamondbacks going into the season was going to be their starting rotation. And one of the reasons that they decided to keep three pitchers that kind of give them length in the bullpen was because they were concerned that some of the starting pitchers might not be able to pitch deep in games early in the season. And so far, that's kind of proved to be the way it's been. As through the first three games, they've only had one starter get out of the fifth inning. So it's something that they definitely have to keep an eye on, and something that is, you know, not sustainable. Regardless of how many long men you carry in your bullpen, you need your starters to pitch a little bit deeper in the games than they have so far.
So where do they go from there? I mean, there's not a lot of depth right now with what's going on, just kind of on the major league roster, and then what's coming up. What's like kind of major league ready that's coming up through the system. But, I mean, what happens if they don't, if the starters just continue to not pitch deep enough in the games? Where do you think, you know, what would be the breaking point?
Well, then if it continues, then they're going to have to start looking at some of the guys they have down in their system as well who didn't make the team, like a Vidal Nuno, like a Robbie Ray, guys like that didn't quite make the cut during spring training. But, you know, they're hopeful that, you know, the second time through the rotation that guys will have settled in a little bit more and that they'll be able to get more consistent innings. Because usually Josh Coleman is one of those guys that you can, you know, usually pencil in for six or seven innings. Didn't quite happen for him on opening day. He wasn't as sharp as he needed to be. They're really not sure what they're going to get from Ruby De La Rosa. He's got electric stuff, but at times, pitches deep counts, and that gets them out of ball games earlier than they would like. So they were kind of expecting that, and I think they were thinking that Jeremy Hellickson would get some innings too, and he kind of scuffled a little bit in game three of the season with his command, so he too ran up some high pitch counts. So I think that they knew this could be an issue, but they're hoping that it doesn't become a long-term one, second time in the rotation.
We should definitely point out that this is the first time through the rotation. Guys are still getting settled in, and we don't want to talk about a lot of doom and gloom. Of course, everybody deserves a little bit of time to get their feet under them and their arms going. And so we haven't talked in a little while, so I just wanted to go over some of the very last thing, the last decisions that were made at spring training when they were setting the 25-man roster. So interesting stuff, releasing Cody Ross, and then Tomas being optioned to AAA. So could you just sort of give a brief overview on what the reasoning behind with the Ross decision? I think that took a few people by surprise. And then sort of where Tomas goes from here.
Yeah, you know, I think all throughout spring, Chip Hale talked about Cody Ross being valuable bat off the bench, especially against left-handers, and a valuable platoon mate out in left field against left-handed starters. And then that last day, as you said, right before they set their roster, they ended up releasing him and eating about $9.5 million that he was owed. So caught a lot of people off guard, but it just felt like they wanted to. And I think you can see kind of Tony La Russa's stamp on this a bit, because he always, as a manager, loved having players with a lot of versatility. And so they decided to keep on the roster Jordan Pacheco, who can catch, play second, play third, play first, and play the corners in the outfield. Which in the National League is extremely valuable. So they went with somebody that could provide them with more versatility over, say, Cody Ross, and kind of ignored the financial implications of that. And then with Tomas, it was a situation where, you know, you just saw as spring training wore on that he just was still trying to pick up, you know, how to play third base. And they kept maintaining that they could easily shift him to the outfield at some point if they wanted to, and he wouldn't need many reps out there. But As they got towards the end of spring training, they realized that, you know, he probably needed more reps in the outfield, and they just simply ran out of time with him. So they're sending him down to AAA Reno and hope that he can get his bat started there in the PCL. They're going to play him a bunch in the outfield so that when he does come back up here, he can play both third and the outfield, and they can try to get a bat for him in that way. So it wasn't a total surprise that they sent him down. A little bit of a surprise that he's going to be playing more outfield than third base in the minor leagues. But the Cody Ross thing did catch everyone by a little bit off guard.
Okay, so I'm still a little bit confused on where they see Tomas ultimately playing. So kind of both, like, I mean, as a big player, they still want him to be a third baseman eventually?
Well, you know, I tried to pin Dave Stewart down on that the other day, and he kept saying that, you know, well, he'll still play some third, and then when he comes up to the big leagues, it's a matter of finding him at bat. So if that's in the outfield one day and at third base another day, or at first base, that's what they would do. I find it hard to believe that they'll have many at bats for him at third base if Jake Lamb keeps hitting the way he's hitting it to start the season. So then the outfield is very crowded right now with guys that are playing well. So it could be certainly a challenge for him and just to find a bat for Tomas. So I think they're trying to expand his versatility as much as they can right now and kind of leave their options open going forward, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of look at third base. You can either play it or you can't. You either have an ability to, I mean, it's an interest, anything in the infield. I mean, you either have the ability to play an infield position or you don't. And that's why I don't know. I feel like they're almost like they won't just come out and say, like, this experiment didn't work. How do you become a third baseman when you haven't really shown any aptitude to be able to play the position?
Well, and I think, you know, in fairness, he didn't have it was a relatively small sample size for spring training. But, you know, you're right. If they really believed that he was going to be a third baseman, then you would think that when he went down to Reno that that's all he would play and he would get all his reps at third base. But
right.
I really think that they have their doubts about whether he can play third base, whether they want to say that publicly or not, and that by having him play the outfield, it's pretty much kind of tipping their hand as far as that goes.
Right. Okay, well, let me stop jumping on my side of that for a second, and we'll talk about Jake Lamb because, wow, he had a good couple of games, and he legitimately, I mean, there was competition in spring training, and he legitimately beat out Tomas for the starting job, so that has to be very encouraging. Again, this is small sample size week, so we're just going to keep everything kind of tempered a little bit, but it's nice to see him kind of get off to a nice start.
Yeah, certainly for his confidence, it always helps a younger player to get off to a good start, and he has seemed to be so much more confident this spring and the first few games of the season than he was last year coming up as a rookie when everything was new to him and probably a little bit overwhelming. And it's funny, you know, you mentioned a small sample size. He has 7 RBIs in his first 2 games and actually only one of those is a starter. One of those games is a starter. So, you know, people were calling him in the, you know, clubhouse, Bam Bam Lamb. But these things change quickly, and so, you know, the first 2 days everybody was all over him with cameras, and he was just trying to get used to all the attention, and he was kind of laughing about that. So, but, you know, if it is a small sample size, they do have high hopes for him, and he is an excellent defender at third. And like you said, he legitimately won that starting spot during spring training with a strong spring, both with the bat and in the field.
I just makes me laugh because, I mean, at being a part of the media, I'm definitely guilty of this as well. But, like, reporters that come out of spring training, the beat writers, they're so happy to be covering an actual game that matters, that counts, that's in a regular major league stadium, that everybody just goes, everybody goes a little crazy the first week when anything good or anything bad happens. Would you agree?
I know. I was driving in. After he had that big night in game 2 of the season, he had the 7 RBIs, and that's when I heard the radio guys call him, you know, Bam Bam Lamb, and I just thought, oh, wow, you know, I mean, he may well have a very good season, and like I said, he is a very good prospect, and it just it's funny how that happens. You know, the first 2 games of the season, everybody's, if you do well, boy, they're right behind you, but if God forbid you struggle the first two games, so they're ready to write you off. It's always interesting.
Yeah, I was at the Reds Pirates yesterday, and 2 hour and 45 minute rain delay, and all I kept thinking was, oh my God, we're going to watch the Reds and the Pirates, like two really good teams in the same division, play an actual real baseball game. And while most of the time I couldn't pout during rain delays, I was actually kind of looking forward to the rain passing through and the game actually being played, even though it didn't end until 2 in the morning. Anyway, moving on. So the franchise four, this is an interesting thing that Major League Baseball has introduced. So they're allowing fans, they're asking fans to vote on the four most impactful players in the history of the franchise. And those players will be then unveiled and introduced at the All-Star Game. And so this is really cool. Obviously, the Diamondbacks are a young team, haven't been around that long. But so let's read the list here. You got Steve Finley, Paul Goldschmidt, Luis Gonzalez, Mark Grace, Randy Johnson, Curt Schilling, Brandon Webb, and Matt Williams. So, Steve Gilbert, give me your four.
Oh boy, you're gonna make me choose. Well, of course, Randy Johnson. I gotta go. You know, you gotta have Randy Johnson on there.
Of course.
And Luis Gonzalez, you know, has to be on there for his for the big hit in the 2001 World Series. Not to mention, you know, the 57 homers he put out that year. And the last two, boy, then it gets kind of tricky because Curt Schilling had that great 01 season. Was also good for them in 02. So do you give it to him because of the outstandingness of what he did, or does a guy like Brandon Webb get it for the amount of time that he was, you know, with the team and pitched well? So I guess if you're, this is a Mount Rushmore, I guess I'll go with Curt Schilling just because, you know, he's so tied in with that 0-1 team. And as fourth, it's young in his career, but it sure seems like right now that Paul Goldschmidt at some point is going to be up on that four. So those would be my four, I guess, right there. And Brandon Webb would be one that I kind of probably regret leaving off that list.
Yeah, I was talking to our friend Thomas Harding, who covers the Rockies, and the two teams obviously have things in common because they're both relatively young. And I just wonder, speaking of young, just because the voting base, it's largely online, it's a younger demographic that gravitates toward MLB.com. And so you wonder, are some of these current players going to sneak in there? And it's not so much a factor for some of the newer teams, but some of these older teams where, you know, the popular player now might trump, you know, somebody who is one of the legendary players of the game.
That's going to be fascinating to see how it works out. I've always, you know, because the Diamondbacks are the only team I've ever covered and they have such a young history, I always wonder what it would be like when we do these look-back stuff, if I had covered the Dodgers or the Giants or, you know, the Red Sox or Yankees, where you go back, you know, 100 years and, you know, how do you start comparing players from eras? And there can be some that, if I'm having a hard time choosing, you know, Curt Schilling or Brandon Webb, what's going to be the discussion for some of those Yankee greats.
Yeah, it's going to be a knockdown drag out with some of these other teams. But anyway, Steve, thank you so much. Enjoy the week, and we'll talk to you next week.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.